So the theme is faith and devotion. And it's a little bit of a poor brother of the practice in the Western world. Because in a way, the Western form of Dharma practice, which is renewal or reset of the guidance of the Buddha, and in its movement to the Western world as practice, as awareness, as mindfulness, as mind, as inner transformation, it's left behind a great deal of the religious extras, the worship of the Buddhas, the sacred chanting and so on. It's left it behind. And the Western world has invited a Dharma practice which is quite secular and often a bit mechanical. And so some of us experience this in our practice. We feel it doesn't have enough juice. It's rather dry. It's a bit technical. And we listen to Dharma talks and we practice with awareness. And of course there's heart practice, there's metta, there's kindness and there's compassion. But it's often a little bit unclear. Where is faith? And where is devotion? And do we need it? And isn't it enough to practice for our liberation by watching with awareness, a liberated mind, looking at reality? Why do we need faith? And I think that sometimes the practice can really feel too technical for many people. And especially if we go into Mahasi-style Burmese practice, Goenka at times, it can feel rather male, yang, kind of doing, and not enough holding and refuge, and in a way, faith. And sometimes people actually feel that they need to leave the Dharma because they're looking for something more juicy. And many people actually go in two directions, mind you, from the Western Theravada practice to Tibetan practice, which has a lot of juice in it, a lot of rituals and empowerments and colours and icons. But there's also movement the other way, from the Tibetan practice, which is so full of culture-based rituals, practices, devotions and hierarchies and the Lama and the priest and all of that. They want to go to something a bit more kind of naked practice and come to the Theravada. So we need to kind of look at why we need faith and trust. What is it and how it can help our practice, and how maybe it's already there and we didn't notice it. So one of the main reasons we need faith is that we can't think our way beyond ourselves. Our mind can only do what we ask our mind to do. So our mind can go to a certain place, and then if we want to jump beyond the capacity of our knowing mind to understand things, if we want to jump to the beyond, then the mind can't get there. And we can find ourselves struggling with the known, and somehow longing for the beyond, for the unknown, for a place which is not known, clear, and defined, but we know it's a liberating place. And how do we go there? And there is where faith really happens. When the mind can't go to a place, faith can. Because faith is not really in the mind. It's in the whole being. A place of deep letting go into. A place of deep giving ourselves to. A place that is like Dvekut in the Kabbalah language. We are there. We jump there. We become there. And there's no way there. And there's no thinking there. And that's why we need faith. It's to make those jumps into the beyond. And to let go of the known into the unknown, which is why faith is helpful. We also need to let go of fear, because one of the issues that we face is fear of the unknown, of fear of what is beyond. What I let go of is the known me. And liberation is certainly jumping out of the known me, the me I know and I hang on to. And the reason that we can't jump out of the known me is that we're afraid. We're afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of being not ourselves. We're afraid of not managing in this world. We're afraid of going to pieces. The Buddha all the time said, go to pieces, go to pieces. More than that, the Buddha said, you are already in pieces, but you don't realize it. You're made of aggregates, the mitzarfim, but you think you're a person. But I mean, who wants to go to pieces? So we need to deal with that. We need to face our insecurity, our fears of going beyond. And there is not only faith, but trust. And trust is one of the powers that Elao mentioned just before. So many people would assume that faith is like a belief, and that if I believe in Buddha, that will take me to the other shore of the river of samsara. I need to believe in Buddha, I need to believe in that. It's not exactly like that. And that's the fine tuning of what we're going to be doing here these 2 or 3 days. It's really looking at something more subtle than belief in the Buddha, or we don't have any Buddha statues here, and it's not that we don't have devotion or faith, it's just that we have devotion or faith to something more subtle than a Buddha picture or Ganesha on the shelf in our front room, like millions of Indian families. So it's not belief in so much. We already have plenty of them, even though we sometimes think we don't, but we do. We believe in science. We believe maybe in... So many people say, well, I believe the future will be better. We believe there'll be something better. Who says there'll be something better? Who knows what will be? We don't know. But the belief in there'll be better. Or if I do this, then I will be better. That's a belief. So we do have plenty of them, but we don't really recognize them as beliefs so much. But it's good to look at them and then to see how we can go to a subtle place, which is faith. Which is faith in not in a specific thing that will happen or we want to happen, but just faith, trust, letting go into something bigger, letting ourselves go into something bigger. And one place that we're going to be looking at is our inner voice, faith and trust in our inner voice. This is fundamental. The Buddhist path is for autonomous people who are standing on their feet, not for people who are hugely depending on what is the eder, the herd mind, the mind of the society. Kalama Sutta, you know, don't believe in things just because everybody says them. The path is for people that are standing on their feet as independent, whole human beings, standing under the sky, saying, I'm exploring life, here I am. I'm not just believing what everybody says, I'm going to explore life as it is. And that independence is very important, I think, in the spiritual life. Otherwise we just do what every guru will tell us, or what every book will tell us, or we don't have authority of our inner voice. We have authority, we've given it somewhere else, to somebody else, to the priest, or the rabbi, or the lama, or even the Buddha. So partly the place of trust is to trust our inner voice. And as I'm going to be talking about this, and you maybe read the article, I think it was sent around, right, about be an island to yourself. And that's why the Buddha was so keen to tell everybody, the monks, be an island and then practice. Meaning stand on your ground, have your autonomy, otherwise you'll be just lost in the voices of everybody else. So party trust is listening to our inner voices, and that's what makes the Dharma quite radical. It's not just another convention. It's something quite radical. Standing your own feet, saying, what is the truth of things? What is the voice I need to listen to, the authentic voice inside me and in the world that is worth and is important? And the other aspect that we already touched this evening is refuge. And now I think if we look at refuge with the new eyes, from what I've just been saying, from thinking about trust, from reading the article and thinking about what it means to be an island in the stormy seas of life, so then refuge then takes on a new meaning for us. It is a place where we can deal with our fears, our insecurities, our place of shakiness, uncertainties. So it is, in a way, the Buddhist version of devotion. Devotion in the Buddhist practice world, that is in the original teaching of the Buddha. Although I must say that, of course, in the original suttas, there's loads and loads and loads of devotion to the Buddha by people praising the Buddha like anything. But nevertheless, the main message of practice is devotion to Dharma, not devotion to any one thing, or any one belief, or any one, or what the group says. It's really devotion to the Dharma, and that's refuge, taking refuge in the Dharma. If we take refuge in the Dharma, meaning we find our home in the Dharma, and here I think we should interpret the Dharma and a very big teaching, which is not only Tovana, Amutta Tovana, but is the deepest spiritual teachings that are available, and we can call them Dharma. So devotion to the Dharma is finding our home in the spiritual journey or in the spiritual life, And when we do that, the spiritual life finds its home in us. And that's something very beautiful. If we find our home in the Dharma finds its home in us. So, actually, that's all I want to say right now as an introduction to the topic and food for thought. And we'll be going into all of these things in much more detail during the next few days together, but that gives a small kind of sikuma summary of what we're going to be doing. And you can think about it and also think of questions that come up in your own mind to bring up together. You have plenty of time to discuss and to bring up these questions together and explore them together during these few days.